Judges chapter 15. Somebody one time pointed out that one of the reasons, that one of the ways that we know that God wrote the Bible is because the Bible is honest. It doesn't just tell what's right, it tells what's wrong. It doesn't just tell what men did that's good, it tells what they did that's bad. And it doesn't flatter mankind. In fact, it shows who he is. But sometimes in the Bible, we forget to stop and enjoy those times when it does pay a compliment or point out a strength. And we should do that with one another, by the way. I know for a fact that every one of us here has weaknesses, but we've got some strengths too, amen? I like Brother Hickson was teaching a soul winning class a while back, and he pointed something out. I think he's the one that said this. He said, there's always a way to compliment somebody. So you can say something nice about just about anybody. And the Bible has some nice things to say, and that's an understatement, about Samson. By the way, the gifts and the strengths that we have came from God. Did God, maybe I should not make that such a hypothetical question. The fact is, God gave you and I some strengths that we could use to serve him. And he gave us some ability, some gifts. Talents is a word the Bible uses. We think of talents a little differently, but either way, God gave you and I some things that we can use to serve him. Now, he didn't give us everything, but he gave different gifts to different people. Samson had a gift for fighting. Now, you might think about this. If you look at the history of our nation, you go all the way back to World War II. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the Japanese were not so foolish as to think that they were bigger than the U.S. or that they had more industrial might than the U.S. They knew quite the obvious. But what they thought was that they could get us to believe that it was going to be too costly, too painful to fight them, that we might seek peace. And that philosophy has been found in war after war after war. The same thing happened in Korea when the Chinese came across and attacked the forces in Korea. The thought was maybe we would decide we don't want to pay the price. In other words, we could give up some things and live in peace rather than fighting and have people suffer and die to have what we want. And praise God, both in World War II and in Korea, we kept on fighting, amen? At least to a point in Korea. And then I got to tell you, in Vietnam, we didn't do quite so well. And again, the Vietnamese, they weren't so foolish as to think that they were strong enough to defeat the United States. But they ran us out of the country, didn't they? For the most part, because we weren't willing to pay the price. Now, let's apply that just a little bit. Folks, we're in a war. We're in a battle. You say, Pastor, that sounds awfully extreme. Well, let me see if I can't show you some things in the Bible that might convince you. I'm just going to read these verses to you. Please don't slip to them. I'm going to go too quickly for that, but you can go back. I'll give you the list later if you want it. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul tells Timothy, war, a good warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. 1 Peter 2:11 and James 4:1 says there is a war against the soul. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are they? They're spiritual, amen? 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness as a good soldier. And 2 Timothy 4:7, at the end of his life, Paul says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. The Christian life has many similarities to war. We have a cause, amen? The cause, God's word, saving the lost. There is a conflict. You cannot doubt that. And folks, look all around you. Read it. If you have the courage to read the news, the battle is on. And the lines are drawn, and the enemy is not standing by watching. There is an enemy. Praise the Lord, we have a weapon. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Make sure that you are good with the sword, because that is your only offensive weapon. There's bravery, there's cowardice, there are casualties. There are people that have fallen out of the fight, wounded. Church members, pastors, full-time Christian workers. My friend that went home to be with the Lord about 10 years ago, they graduated from a very well-known Bible college in the 1960s. Of his class of, I don't know, I can't remember the number now, but it was 100 or so people. He was the only one left in the ministry when he died. Casualties, people that fall out by the way. There are Christian soldiers. There is a coming victory. Amen. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it's not going to be a peace parade. It's going to be a battle. He's going to come back on a horse with a sword, eyes flaming like fire, and he is going to win victory. There are two huge battles in the Revelation. Both of them take place there at that place that we know as Armageddon or Megiddo. There are other names for that place, the Valley of Jezreel. I've stood on the southern side of that thing and looked out over it. Napoleon stood there back in his day and said, "This is the perfect battlefield, and it's going to be a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get victory." And folks, it is possible to win battles, amen? And we are the winners in the war. In every war, just as in this one, there are dedicated people. Some are dedicated to their cause, some dedicated to themselves. Some are heroes, some are not. Some are faithful warriors who fight until there's victory. Some are merely profiteers or defectors or even those that are draft dodgers. And then, of course, there are those that are on the other side. Folks, we're in a battle. And it is an illustration that is borne out throughout the Bible. Now, I want you to know something. Who is the enemy? First of all, we have an adversary, the devil. Amen? And he is a powerful adversary, and we cannot defeat him in our strength. And then the devil has his emissaries, his agents. There are fallen angels called demons, and there is demonic activity in the world today, I guarantee you. It is everywhere. And you may not find someone in a situation like The Exorcist where they're on the floor foaming or whatever, but the devil's agents are out there causing all sorts of havoc. And then there are people that choose to be on Satan's side. And that doesn't mean they can't switch sides, but there are some people that have decided that they do not like, they don't believe God's word, they don't believe the commands in God's word, and they're going to fight against it. And then history, there have been people like that, men like Voltaire and Thomas Paine and others that decided to oppose the word of God. What a foolish thing to do. But folks, we're on God's side. And we are all in the same army. Let me say it that way. If you're Air Force, I apologize. God doesn't need airplanes, okay? But we are all in the same military force. Now, when I was in the Army, we would set up a defensive position and we would dig a hole and we'd get down inside that hole and then the enemy was over there. I didn't need the guy down here shooting at me. I got enough trouble with the enemy over here. Don't shoot at one another, amen? Amen? Be on the same side. And if you have a difference with someone, make it right in spite of the cost. So, now back to the passage at hand. Samson was a fighter. And he was a courageous fighter. You say, well, Pastor, he was strong. I know, but when he died, he knew at the end of his life, when he pulled those pillars down, that building was going to kill him too. He was willing to sacrifice if necessary to get victory for God. And let's just look at a little bit of that without taking a whole lot of time. But I would like to begin reading in chapter 15 and verse 1. If you'd stand, please, stretch your legs a little bit. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but quite a bit of it. Beginning in Judges chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, "But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, 'I will go in to my wife into the chamber,' but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, 'I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her.' And Samson said concerning them, "Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure." And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, "Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Elim. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Elim and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found the new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his right hand, or out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that as we assemble here, that we know we have in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that we need to be capable and quick to use your Word to win victories in the lives of the people that we meet. Help us to let the Bible change us first, and then help us to use it to reach others, and help us to do so properly. God, I think of all the things that Paul said to Timothy and other verses we read tonight about the battle. And sometimes we may think to ourselves that it would just be easier to be at ease or to be at peace or not to fight a fight. But, Lord, the enemy's not at peace. The enemy's not going to rest. And, Lord, we need to be busy in the battle, fighting the fight for you, being soldiers of courage that do as you ask us to do. I pray you'd give us some things from this passage tonight that might help us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, as you read about the life of Samson, there are some things that we find distasteful and some things that are undoubtedly mistakes. But in this passage, if you have any question about it, you just remember this. The Philistines are the enemies of God's people. And the Philistines would subdue God's people if they could. And in our world today, I would say this to you. The devil would like to subdue you and I. He would like to keep us living in sin. He would like for us to not know the joy of the Lord. He would like for us to get caught up in some life that the flesh thinks it might enjoy, but that in fact is not going to make us happy. And every now and then, if not quite often, I suppose is a better way to say it, I hope you get just a good solid taste of the joy that comes from being right with God and being confident that God loves you and is taking good care of you. And once in a while, when folks, we all wrestle against sin. Amen? That's one of the battles that we fight, and you could talk about that all night long. It's a major battle that we fight because the devil's constantly going to be trying to tempt us and try us and defeat us. But when you can sit there and you can say to yourself, I know I'm right with God, and I know He loves me. I know there's nothing to worry about. I'm just as safe in His hands as if I was already in heaven. And you just kind of stop and think about that, and you think, wow, isn't that kind of life good? Amen? And that's the kind of God we serve, isn't it? And we can have that kind of joy and that kind of peace. And you understand that statement there where the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And when we love the Lord, we love one another, and we have that sense in our heart. And if there is anything in your life that is robbing you of that joy, fight the fight to defeat it. Amen? With God's power, you can't do it by yourself, but fight the fight to defeat it. And the sword of the Spirit is a good way to do that. We talked about the presence of God when we spend time in the Word of God. Just a few simple things about Samson here. Most of these are not all that profound, or rather obvious, but let's go back to chapter 15 and just remember what's happening here. In the first couple of verses, I'm not even going to try to explain it too much. It's obvious what's happening. It's just that there is an occasion here where Samson is going to fight against the enemy in verse 3. And he says, I just want to remind you, by the way, both in the first couple of verses when you see what this girl's father did, and then later on when you see in the end of verse 6, the Philistines came up and burnt her father with fire, her and her father with fire. The devil doesn't fight fair. The devil has no consideration for the lives of men or for you or I. He would, if God would allow him, he'd kill you in a moment. You saw what happened to Job. And the enemy is in that category. There's undoubtedly a wickedness here, an enemy that needs to be fought against. And so good old Samson, he realized that. He realized that there was an enemy, and he knew who they were. It was the Philistines. And the Philistines who had subdued them. The Philistines who rejected God. And they were immoral people. They were the enemies of God's people. They hated God's people. I just got to get a rabbit trail going here. I was thinking again today. When you try to witness to somebody. You know, when I try to get to know somebody, if I just try to be their friend and I ask them about themselves or I just talk kindly to them. Most of us ought to be pretty good at that as you get up in the years and you start to get to the point to where you can get along with people and get to know people. And by the way, Christians ought to be friendly, amen? Amen. We shouldn't, you know, the devil would love it if you and I would go off and live in some cave and never come across people, because if we're not around people, we can't see people saved. But when you try to reach somebody and you are kind to them and you get to know them, at some point in time, you have to introduce God into the equation. Let me say that in a more effective way. At some point in time, it's not just I'm going to be their friend. I like people. When I meet people, I just like people. I like to meet people. I don't care who it is. But at some point in time, it's got to go beyond that. It's got to go to the point of where I give them the truth. Now, I have an edge. I can say I'm a pastor. And so this morning I was getting something early in the morning. I was buying whiteboard markers at Fry's, and these two girls were standing there, and they weren't very busy yet. And I happened to have some of these in my pocket, and the Holy Spirit said, "Give them one." So you've had that happen. And so I had three in my pocket. I took two out, and I said to them, "I'm a pastor, and we're having an evangelistic meeting next month. I'd like to invite each of you to come out to it." And I gave them each one. They were polite. But the minute you step across the line where now we're not just talking about our families or our friends or whatever, now we're talking about the Bible, you understand, you're in a different territory, aren't you? People see it differently. We know that, and so if we're not careful, we'll just stay on this side of the line and not talk about God. No, we've got to talk to Him about the Lord. And what we have to do, the most effective thing we can do, is bring them to that place where we can tell them, you know what God did for me. Amen? Now, what has God done for you? You see, if the devil can keep you in a in a sour attitude or in a sinful situation or all so caught up in yourself that you don't care about anybody else, he's got you. But if the Lord really is what he ought to be in your life, then what you ought to be able to do to somebody is bring that out in a way, because it's as much a part of you as anything, and say to them, I'm a Christian. And then what I hate is now you're almost already fighting the fight because they've heard all this misinformation. Because the devil has already gone after you, and he's already tried to get them not to like you. And so now you're going to have to kind of draw some things out and try to engage them in some conversation of some sort. It's a battle. It is a fight. It's a fight. Now, what do we want? Are we trying to rule the world? No. Do we just want to tell everybody you can't have any fun? No. Do we want to tell everybody, well, there's just no, you're just a terrible person and I'm better than you? No. What I want to tell them is there's a Savior that can save them from their sin. The life that they're living is a life that the devil has prepared for them, and it's got a horrible end, but God has prepared a life for them that is wonderful. And that's filled with joy and confidence and peace and all the things we talk about, the fruit of the Spirit. And we would love for them to accept that. I don't want anything from anybody. I just want them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Amen. It's a battle. And there are some lines drawn here. Now, the illustration here perhaps is a tad weak because Samson is fighting for victory. And let's just read a little bit here and see what happens. He knew who the enemy was, and he knew where they were, and he went after them. In verse 4, he caught these foxes. You can see this happening. If you've ever seen dry grass burn, and out here in Arizona, I suspect you've had a chance to do that sometime. I used to live in South Texas, and I've seen that, to where just a small little fire, before you know it, a field 10 times the size of this room would go up, and because the grass was about that tall, and it was dead and dry. And you can imagine, you've seen dry wheat fields at the end of the season. 300 foxes, he ties them tail to tail, puts the firebrand in the middle, lights it. The foxes are thinking, we don't want to be here. And they're trying to get away, and so they're just running and running and running and running, dragging that fire through the wheat. And what Samson has done is he's gone after the enemy. Would you be willing to agree with me? Samson was not ashamed to be on God's side. Samson was not ashamed to be one of God's people. And when the time came to fight, Samson said, I'm ready to fight. And he realized there was a battle, and he went into the battle. And folks, we need to be ready to fight. You may feel like you're not adept with the Word of God to where you can use it. You need to get better at the Word of God. You need to feel like there's no hope. There is hope because the Holy Spirit's on your side. And if you can remember the last time you led a soul to Christ, there are folks out there that want to get saved. And they're ready to listen. They're looking for something. Not all of them, but some. And if we don't ever go to the battle, we're never going to find out who they are. So this man was aware of who the enemy was. He was not afraid to go after them. And so in verses 4 and 5, he set the brands on fire and sent them out into the... Oh no, Pastor, what if the Philistines get angry with him? Is this a problem? Not really. Folks, we're not here to please the world. We're here to please God. Amen. I suspect in our lifetime, I don't know, possibly, probably, the liberty that we have, it's already getting very, very shaky. The liberty we have to preach this book without being punished for it is getting shakier and shakier. Because this book declares things to be sin that the world calls a right. And this book declares things to be sin, and the world says, well, you hate those people. That's just the devil's misinformation. His propaganda is overwhelming. And no, this book declares what sin is because we need to be saved from sin. If we don't ever go to battle, if we aren't willing to get out there and fight the fight, there's never going to be any victory. There's never going to be... And you say, well, what if the enemy gets mad and comes after us? I just have to draw back to that verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, amen? We're going to keep on telling people the truth. And it may be that God allows you to be persecuted, or it may be that he'll protect you from it, but the Bible does say this, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you are willing to tell people the truth, you're going to come across some that don't want to hear it. So then, in verse 6, yep, sure enough, the Philistines aren't happy with this. Who hath done this? Well, here's what I like about it. It said, they answered Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite. In other words, they knew whose side Samson was on. Do people know whose side you're on? God doesn't need secret agents in his army, does he? God's army, we ought to wear the uniform proudly, and we ought to wear the title proudly. And 20 years ago, back before all this terrorism, soldiers, when they left the base, they would wear their uniform. And you could see them. You see them around town here, the people in the Air Force. I was at the coffee shop the other day, and two or three people were in there getting coffee, and they were in uniform. And I'm thinking, there's somebody that's in the Air Force. They're wearing the uniform. There's no question what side they're on. Folks, there shouldn't be a question amongst the people that we know whose side we're on. Amen? Now, if you try and hide it, that's different. But just let them know, I'm on God's side. It's a good side to be on. Amen? And it's a side to identify with. They knew exactly who had done this. They knew Samson was the one. He did not mind being identified as being on God's side for God's people. And so it gets ugly here in verse 6. And again, it's just a picture of what the world has to offer and what God's enemies have to offer. The Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And that wasn't even right. They didn't. Her father was out of line, but they didn't deserve that. And so Samson quit, right? No. Well, you say, well, Pastor, the enemy's been vicious, and maybe we should try something different. No, even when there was suffering, even when the enemy responded, Samson didn't quit. In fact, in verse 7, he says, I'm going to do some more. I'll be avenged of you. Now, I'm out of time, so let me just show you one more thing. You can see it. What happens next in verse 9 through about verse 13. This is sad. There were a bunch of people here. They are men of Judah. 3,000 of them in verse 11. And they come and they find Samson. And instead of saying, Samson, we're on your side, we're all on God's side, let's fight the battle, they say, Samson, no, 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 we don't want to fight. What we would like for you to do is come with us. We're going to give you to the Philistines because we're more afraid of them than we are of God. That's what it comes down to. Amen? And you know what Samson said? He said, okay, just promise me this. Promise me you won't hurt me. Because he knew what was going to happen. They tied him up. That was a waste of time. And he went, and when the time was right, the bands were broke, and he killed some more Philistines. Maybe I can end on this thought. I would have been ashamed to be amongst those 3,000. Say, Pastor, there was a lot of them, and they all had the same opinion. Surely 3,000 people with the same opinion must be right. No, Samson was right. He's fighting God's enemies. And the 3,000 are afraid. And so rather than standing up and paying the price and being on God's side and winning the victory, they would rather be subdued by the enemy and give the champion, their judge, the one that's willing to fight for them, over to the enemy. There's nothing right about that. I go back to that statement that Moses said to the people. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen? Are we on the Lord's side? I've been thinking over the years, and I'll try to keep this from being too personal, but I've been in the ministry now for several decades. And what is it that we are trying to do here? Why do we do what we do? We don't do this to make money. I left a six-figure job to go to a barely three-figure job. If you want to make money, this is not the place to do it. Why are we here? Because, A, God put us here, and B, this is a church, and folks, God loves the church. We ought to as well. We want to see the church grow, amen? We want to see the church do well. We want to see the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we would like to see this church grow people that go out and reach souls and grow people that go out and work bus routes and teach Sunday school and bring lost people in and stand up for the truth and win their neighbors and their loved ones and their co-workers to Christ and have a good example, a good testimony for the Lord. And we come here to worship. We come here to sing. We come here to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. When I left Maryland in 2016, I left behind a whole bunch of things that we had built for the Lord. I didn't build them for me. I built them for God. And praise the Lord, some of you haven't heard this, but the new pastor is seeing huge success. I think I told you a few weeks back that they had seen, I forgot what the number was now, 15 souls saved in about a month period of time. And they're getting things in order and they're going forward for the Lord. So if you're fighting against the pastor or fighting against the church or fighting against what we do, you're fighting against God. And that's what the 3,000 were doing. It would be easier, they said, if you'd stop stirring these guys up. We don't mind being subdued. We don't mind living in slavery. We don't mind having to give them most of what we make. And we don't mind having to be in their control. And there are Christians, I'm sorry to say, that would tell you that they would rather enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season than bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Samson stirs things up, a lot of folks say, don't do this. No, folks, we're in a battle. Pick your side, amen? And remember this, we're fighting for the souls of men, and we're fighting for the welfare of Christians, some of whom may have been in our church and may have fallen away, backslidden, or whatever. We want to get them back. They didn't become the enemy when they fell. They became somebody we're trying to win. And the Bible says that when a man be overtaken in a fault, when a man be overtaken in a fault, we restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. Amen? So know what side you're on. Know who the enemy is. Don't be afraid to go to battle. Samson was a fellow that was willing to fight the fight. And by the strength of God, he had great victory. Folks, I did not define this scenario. The battle that you're in, God put you here. Go all the way back to Genesis. Cain and Abel. Joseph and his brethren. It's Pharaoh and Moses. Noah and the world. There's always been two sides, the righteous and the wicked. It's a blessing to be counted among the righteous, amen? But it's not a coexistence with the wicked. We're in a battle, and we need to fight the fight, amen? Let's all stand and pray.